Taco for Buckets is brought to you by Caso Law. Whether your family is navigating a moment of crisis or you're facing criminal charges, they know what you're going through and they're ready to help. They know your love for your Gopher basketball team. So if you're looking for an attorney that will fight for you for parenting time on a game day, look no further. If you've gone so hard at a tailgate that you start speaking Spanish, this bilingual team is ready to answer your call. Caso Law is proudly women-owned. To set up a free consultation, go to casolaw.com/contact. That is casolaw.com. Get in touch today. All right, we're excited to have another episode of Taco for Buckets. This time, Ryan, we are going to be joined by assistant coach Brian Cooley, who comes with coach Nico Medved, who recently joined us in our most recent episode. What an embarrassment of riches for us to be able to talk directly with these coaches, hear from them firsthand.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate you having me be here.
Excellent. Coach, how has the state of Minnesota treated you in your first few months here? How has everything gone so far? And how has the state of Minnesota treated you so far?
It's been great. I think more than anything, it's the people, whether it be the state, the city, or just the athletic department, the people have been great to us, just help welcoming us with open arms, helped with the transition, the adjustment, all that stuff. I'm from Nebraska, and kind of all the coaching spots I've been to, the program I've been at has recruited Minnesota, and so I'm very familiar with the area, the people in the area. Just the upper Midwest is my kind of people, so I'm really happy to be here.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about your career. How did you get into coaching, and how did that just start? And then we'll work our way towards Minnesota, and then we'll get deep into the Minnesota stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I tried to play college. I was just a very average player on an average team at Nebraska Wesleyan, which is a Division III school in Lincoln. And so I played 4 years there, and I thought I wanted to be the whole time I was going to be a high school teacher and coach. That's what I wanted to be. And then my first day of student teaching, I had second grade PE kids, and they just, they were hanging off the walls. I had zero control. So from then on, I tried to be a graduate assistant somewhere. And so I got on with Coach Nagy at South Dakota State. So I was a graduate assistant from there, and it was really, really good timing. The program was just transitioning from Division II to Division I. It was a very small staff, and so I was a green GA, didn't really know anything, and I got kind of thrown in the fire, so I got a ton of good experience there. And then we just happened to get, after my graduate assistant 2 years there, I got hired there full-time as their third assistant, which was very fortunate, just the timing of it more than anything. And we had a player named Nate Walters, Minnesota native, was a great player. So he was my first year as an assistant at SDSU was his freshman year. He was obviously one of the best that ever did it in the state of Minnesota and at SDSU, and he was awesome to coach. So we got a lot of good players like that. We had some success there, went to three NCAA tournaments there with Coach Nagy, and he was a great coach to learn under, just a great person too. Like, he's a very just good person, good role model for me as a young coach. And then when Coach Nagy got the job at Wright State in Dayton, Ohio, I went with him to Dayton, Ohio at Wright State. So I was there for 5 years. We had some really good teams. Went to one NCAA tournament there. So I worked for Coach Nagy a long time. And then after 5 years there, Coach Thorson, who everybody knows, Coach Thorson was at CSU. He got hired at Minnesota. And when he left, I took his spot at Colorado State under Coach Medved. So it's kind of a circle of life, if you will, with me and Thor.
Yeah, that's good. It's interesting you bring up Nate Walters. Just to kind of connect some dots for you, my dad was an assistant coach in the same conference that he was at, and he argues that he's the best player ever seen play in that league. And there's some pretty good players in that league in the Central Lakes Conference. I mean, Ryan James can talk at more length about that, but Nate's a phenomenal
phenomenal player. But what's it like starting at a Division I school that's, you know, transitioned early into Division I?
Yeah.
And then obviously bring in a player like that, that helps kind of lead you to some success.
Yeah. Well, as a Division III guy, I'm not being dramatic. We got sack lunches and we took bus rides everywhere. So I thought that was normal. So then when I got to South Dakota State and we actually flew to University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee to play a game and stay at the Hyatt, I just couldn't believe it. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Like, legitimately, I thought I was just walking on air. I loved every aspect of the job. And then to get a guy like, we had a bunch of really good players, but I think with both the guys I worked under, Coach Nagy and Coach Medved, like, more than anything, the number one thing with those guys, which I really value, is the kind of high character people they recruit, which makes our job as assistants easier. It makes winning easier. It makes it more fun. And so guys like Nate, I've always been a part of programs that their best players are also their best people. And Nate was an epitome of that, where he's the hardest worker, most humble guy. And he was just such a good player. So I think it was a good lesson for me at a young age in coaching, that like it just pays to have your best players be your hardest workers and your highest character people.
So you've touched on two things that are like part of my past so much, like teaching. I taught for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, I just imagine you coaching or teaching these second graders with the kids bouncing off the wall. Like, it brings back so many stories, and I wish you could just go down the line of all the stories that you had of the wildest kids, because I've got mine. I know that.
Yeah.
Nate Walton,
I don't have the patience. I respect that too, because I don't have that. I really respect, because my family is all teachers too, and I really respect the teachers, the teaching aspect of it, the patience, the care factor. I promise I have some of the care factor in the teaching, but just sometimes the patience can kind of go come and go. So I'm working on that still.
Did you say second grade?
Yeah, I was K through 12 PE. Gotcha. And so I just happened to be that second grade class was a handful, to say the least.
How big was the class size? I remember some of my last ones for regular PE were like 36 kids.
No, it was like 20, 25. The last straw that broke the camel's back as we were playing dodgeball, and I was in it. I was trying to win, and it hit somebody. I was trying to catch the ball, and I just pile dry ran somebody over, the most popular kid in class. And then he went crying to the bathroom. I'm like, all right, these are all signs from God that maybe I should go a different path.
I'm telling you, in 2005, I was in a wrestling room with our adaptive PE kids, and me and the other guy, we were just flinging balls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, boy, I don't know. First of all, that would never last these days. And like, man, even then I was like, this might be a little much. Yeah. I'll never forget that Nate Walters recruitment, because I remember there being so many teams going after it. I think it was North Coast State, Augustana, Colorado State.
Yeah.
And
they came in late when Coach Miles got hired there.
Yeah. I think Iowa jumped in a little bit around the state tournament. That was a heck of a victory for you guys, because that was long and fought out.
Oh, I know. And he never won, I think. When Coach Miles and Coach Medved got to CSU, they started recruiting him. It was just so far away from them. So I think it kind of came down to us and Augie. Coach Builder had done a good job with Jay Nolson. In Division II, you can go – there was no limit on the number of times you can go see a kid. So those guys were in there like 20 times, and we were just kind of hanging on. So we were we knew – you know, sometimes people surprise you, but we knew what we had with Nate right away.
Yeah. And Coach Builder, I'll tell you, like, people are like, Augustana was in there with those guys?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yes, they were. Like, that was down to the wire with it. Like, that's how much Coach Billiter had made an impression on them, but you guys made a better impression.
Yeah, well, and the thing, too, is we weren't great during the transition last year. As my second year as a GA, we had lost right before Nate was – we thought he was going to make a decision. We had just lost to Southwest Minnesota in an exhibition game against Coach Bigler, and those guys were like, oh, we got no chance of Nate now. He's going to Augie. You know, we can't beat Division II schools. So we were fortunate to get them.
Yeah, that's great. It's fun to hear that past and how it obviously connects to the state. Obviously, you're pretty connected, and now you're here. So I know Ryan asked how Minnesota's treating you, but how different is it going from, you know, Mountain West now to the Big Ten?
Like, in some ways it's different. In some ways it's the same. I think winning, and Coach was big on our staff talking about this, like, winning looks the same at a lot of different places I've been, like how you treat your players, how you treat your program, but how the players act, how do they act in the community, the classroom, in the hallways, in the weight room,
on the court, all that stuff. All that stuff's the same. You obviously you need to be good in the Big Ten, you're going to need a better player than at some of the mid-major conferences. Everybody's well aware of that, but some of the other aspects of it, of, you know, hardworking guys that are obviously talented, but are about the team over themselves. We like a certain kind of player with coach, like we like the IQ, the skill, the feel, the passing, the shooting, all that stuff. We really put a high value, probably more than most, on that stuff. So some of that stuff translates. But to your point, obviously at this level, from a recruiting standpoint, you know, we've had a lot of players at CSU that would be really good players in the Big Ten. And we just had one drafted in the first round, Neat Clifford, you know, David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens, you know, all those guys, John Tanjay, those guys are all NBA players. So we can still, in a recruiting standpoint, you know, it's our job. We're going to get into some recruiting battles where we got to do a good job and get those wins. But I think a lot of times, I think what we've done is done a good job evaluating 2 years down the road, evaluating their external factors, what makes them a good player, what makes them develop as a player, the character standpoint, all those things. And I think coach has done a really good job of just evaluating what's going to translate not only day one, but 2-3 years down the road.
When was your first interactions with Nico, and what has worked between you guys that has been such a good fit that you've had a nice career coaching with him?
Well, I think like I knew him just from, you know, he's from the Midwest. And so it was one of those things that I knew him, but he didn't know me. As a head coach, that probably happens a lot for those guys, but I knew him. And I think when Thor left Minnesota, I was very, very fortunate, because most of the time with a coach that level and a program like CSU, you know, when a job comes open, it's gone like that. They already know it, who they're going to hire before. And for whatever reason, coach was really open into hiring somebody that he didn't know. And so I got connected with him. We started talking on the phone, and then they flew me out to Fort Collins. He kind of put me through the ringer. I joke around about this. I gave a scouting report to the coaching staff. I put the team through a workout, all that stuff. There's a lot of it because he didn't know me and not seen me coach before. And so I passed the test, got hired. I think for me, my standpoint, a lot of the things that I like, he really values, I really value just naturally. Like what we talked about, just from a basketball standpoint, I've always loved coaching guys that are IQ, skill, feel, know how to play, unselfish, make the extra pass, make the right pass, those kind of things. And that's what he's built his teams with. And then just the character standpoint of just, you know, the team above anything else. And when I say all that stuff, I don't see even our guys in Minnesota, like right now, we have really good kids. They're far from perfect. Everybody, coaches, players, we're all going to make mistakes. We're always going to veer off just a smidge, but the culture and the program, like we have it set where, you know, if you start doing things a certain way, so if you're starting, you know, getting a little too one-on-one, taking bad shots, you almost stick out in a bad way because everybody else is doing the right way. So I really value being in a program like that.
Yeah, I just want to call out, like, that's really evident in watching, especially CSU play. You know, watching from afar, I will text Ryan sometimes or other friends. Like, I can get a little bit too basketball crazy and watch, you know, games that I don't have a rooting interest in.
Oh yeah,
but I'll just watch it, right? Because I love the game. But watching you guys at CSU, you were really selfless, but also defensively,
yeah,
so locked in, right? Like, it was so, you know, they often say, like, defensively, good defenses are kind of on a string together, right?
Yeah.
And that was something I thought you guys did well, where you were maybe limited somewhat physically compared to, like, some opponents. You even go back to the NCAA tournament game. Was it Maryland you guys lost to? Wasn't it Maryland, right?
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. Yeah,
sorry, I know it hurts. But, like, you know, like from a size perspective, you were a little bit outmatched. You found ways to match up and play matchups, but they weren't always your best players, right? But, like, even the guys out coming off the bench, like the seventh quarter, like, just you're on a string defensively.
No, I think that's just a great way of putting it too. Cause, you know, right now in August, our guys are gone now. And so you know, all of us, we're doing a lot of recruiting stuff, but part of the thing we can do this time of year is to kind of just go back and watch film, like what we like, what we need to change, all that stuff. So we're actually going back and watching a lot of that stuff. And, you know, I'm towards the end of the year and that's what Coach says a lot too. Like you said, Luke, like playing with on a string, everybody's playing together. And I think the last 2 years, the program's really made a jump defensively. And some of it's that, some of it just like the physicality our guys played with. We loved it. We really appreciate it. Coach has done a great job the last 2 years, because everybody kind of looks at him as an offensive guy. Right. But the last 2 years, you look at just from a statistical standpoint in the Mountain West, you know, I think we finished second in the league in just overall defensive efficiency last year and the year before. I know we were top, I think, three or so. And so we've had a really balanced program, but like we've really shored up some of the ball screen defense, the physicality, kind of what we want to do in the post, on the perimeter, all that stuff. So I think to your point, just playing together, playing with physicality, like Maryland had basically two fives, you know, they played big, and we didn't play that. There was times when we played four guards, and so we weren't going to adjust to them. We wanted them to adjust to us, and we were just going to play harder. And there's times, but a lot of those guys, if we just played one-on-one, it's like, good luck, right? But the good thing about basketball is you don't play one-on-one. It's a 5-on-5 game where we can all help each other. And so, yeah, we the team together motto that we have, it works a lot for offensive purposes, obviously, but defensively, it's the exact same thing.
I want to jump on a comment that I think both of you made. The depth of that team, I was always amazed how much you guys could count on guys off the bench and trusted guys off the bench. You don't see that very often. Like, and I guess that probably speaks to the character piece of what you guys had. But also, Derek McQueen, that was a travel. I know. I'll say it forever. That was a travel. Come on now. Like, he needed an extra step to get over the length. That's why he took the
extra step. It's weird that when it happened, you know, it goes in. It's like, no way that went in. Because even with the travel, it was such a difficult shot. But then right away, you lose. And, you know, they reviewed it, but you knew it was in. And I wasn't even thinking the travel. You're just kind of worried about peeling the guys off the floor and kind of, you know, consoling them. And then you go back to the locker room. It's like, yeah, that was a travel, because then they slow it down. So, you know, those are tough calls, but, you know, it was a heck of a shot.
So in listening to Nico, and then when he was talking with us, he talked about how fast the turnaround was. I mean,
oh my God.
Done there, travel, you know, Minnesota. How fast, how would that work with you, and how fast was your turnaround, and how are you able to manage that?
Well, like, it was kind of the same thing. I actually snuck on the plane with when Coach went from Fort Collins to Minneapolis with his family. I was lurking in the background there too. So I was on that plane the next day, and they put us up in the hotel, and it was right from the get-go. And we know, like, nowadays, like when you have 10, 11 scholarships open, like a couple of years ago, it's like, oh my gosh, what do we do? And nowadays it's somewhat normal in the spring after a coaching change. And so I think we kind of all went into it, you know, eyes wide open. It helped that Thor stayed on. And so he kind of, when we brought recruits in, he knew, like, it's so hard from people. And Coach is obviously an alum and knows this place like the back of his hand, but there's nuances of it to it. Okay, when we take a campus tour, which way do we go? And there's a million different things like that. So Thor and some of the staffers that we had was invaluable keeping them. And then we brought a lot of the support staff too. But you know, I was somewhat, I knew what to expect. I knew it was going to be 2 or 3 months where it was just like, just putting the gas pedal the entire time. So we were lucky with the two scholarship players that we kept and the one non-scholarship players. We felt really good about those. We just slowly but surely kind of added to it. But those first couple, everybody's like, how's workouts going? Well, we only got a handful of people, so it's not really workouts per se. It was more recruiting and just staying with it.
Okay, so yeah, you talk a little bit about how the landscape of college athletics has changed, right? I don't think we need to go into that as much, but college basketball in your tenure has really evolved drastically, right? Can you talk about the evolution of the game that you've seen in your time coaching?
Yeah, it's completely like the recruiting piece and everything. Like, it's completely different from, like, when I was at South Dakota State, we had those high-level players like Nate Walters, like we talked about, Mike Dom, those guys. And it kind of stinks in the Summer League. A lot of those guys I like to think those guys would have stayed no matter what. Maybe I'm being naive, but I kind of think they would. But in the summer league, a lot of those guys are leaving now. And you know, for us, we want, there's always going to be a time and place for the portal, but I think the retention is super, super important. So we, intentionally, when we kind of finished this recruiting class in the spring, we needed to get some guys that were seniors, some older guys, some veterans. And I think we did a good job with that, but we also needed to get guys that had multiple years left that we can, you can build with. So we want to be good, obviously right from the get-go nowadays, but you also want to, the way we play, the way we do things, we want to retain for basketball purposes, but also just from, for me, it's fun to coach a guy for, some of the guys I've coached the last couple of years, the guys that are one-year guys, they've been great. I love them. But the longer you can coach those guys, the deeper bonds you can form. So, ideally you'd coach guys for 4 or 5 years, all of them. And so I think the more guys we have like that, the better. I think we'll always be a program that strategically goes in the portal, but also build it with high school kids too, that fit us and that we think that could be a 4 or 5 year guy for us. We want to do a combination at Colorado State last year. You talked about our depth. Some of those guys off the bench, part of the reason, we had Ethan Morton from Purdue, Bowen Bourne from Northern Iowa. Both guys were, Ethan won a million games. Bowen had scored a million points, and they're both fifth-year guys. And I think part of the reason that we had so much success, those guys came off the bench for our depth, and they were the best teammates. They're the hardest workers. They never raised their eyebrow about coming off the bench. And so we, those are the kind of things that we look for. I think one constant that coach always says is you get to choose who you recruit. So even all these guys are, making money, which is great for them now. They're making some money. They have all these things going on, but we can still recruit really good kids. Like, we loved our guys last year at CSU. They're all making whatever. This year, the same thing. We've really enjoyed our 2 months of working with our guys at Minnesota now. We have great guys, like great, great guys. So it doesn't matter if guys are transfers, doesn't matter if they're making some money, all that stuff. You can still recruit guys that are unselfish, that are coachable, that are about the culture. So I think our coach Medved does, and our whole staff really, really is passionate about that. You can still choose who you bring into the program.
You know, I managed to watch 3 games of all the guys that you guys brought in as transfers, and my number one thought process, or my one thought almost every time, was, my Lord, that guy passes the ball well. I was like, it was like a trait for everybody.
Yeah.
Which kind of speaks to a character. It kind of speaks to who they are as players and people. And then I was at a practice the other day that the media was allowed to be at, and I've talked to other people that have been at practices, and they talk about the same thing, the way the guys move the ball, but also the connection and the character they have.
Yeah.
It's been something everyone's raved about when they've been able to see you guys practice, only in this, the 7 weeks that you guys had.
Yeah, I think it's like when you bring that group together, I think if you have a bunch of good kids, it's always going to take time no matter what, but it's going to come together eventually, right? And everybody's asked, what are you guys doing for, to build a culture? And we took them out to Lake Minnetonka, which is awesome. You can do different things. Just doing one of those things is not going to, all of a sudden we're together. It just takes time. But I think if you have really good kids, when we ask our guys too, just individually, I think it's going great. And there'll be inevitable ebbs and flows, ups and downs, but we have the core, the roots of the team and the character piece. And so we feel very comfortable about that.
So you said you recruited Minnesota a fair amount, given the other places you've been at. What's your observation of Minnesota high school basketball in general? Being from the outside.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the biggest thing that's always stuck out to me is just well coached. Well coached. There's certain AU programs that are very well run, disciplined, well coached, and the same thing as high school. And every state has that, but I feel like Minnesota in general has that more than most. I think from and everybody, the cat's out of the bag a little bit. Like 10, 15 years ago, maybe people weren't. And you guys, Ryan, you guys could both speak to this probably with more expertise than I can, but they probably weren't recruiting it quite as much. Now everybody knows Minnesota high school basketball. Guys have success in college. And so, we've had some success this last class of getting the guys we want to get, and going forward, hopefully it's the same thing. But I think in general, just the talent and the coaching kind of stick out particularly relative to the population of the state.
I feel it's my duty to speak out for us right now, because we don't lose many kids to prep schools because of how good our coaching is and how good our teams are.
Yeah.
AAU teams, even like Minnesota Furies, Minnesota Comets, Minnesota Selects, they beat shoe teams when they get a chance to regularly because they are well coached. So I just had to, you know, I kind of see myself.
No, I love that. I think that's cool. And from everybody's situation is different. And so, like, generally speaking, I love it when kids will stay with, there's always a time and place to go to a prep school, blah, blah, blah. But in general, like when they stay with the high school, I think it's kind of cool. You know, I think more times than not, I think it's a benefit for the player when they stay at their high school, generally speaking.
Now, I know, like, everything is so, you know, team together. So everything is really team. And I've been a coach for many years myself, so I get it. But I kind of want to ask the question, like, is there any player that you've been coaching the last 2 months in Minnesota that has done some stuff that has surprised you, that has been better than even you expected?
Oh, boy. I mean, I think the guys, like, you know, That's a good question. I think in general, the team, I don't want to dodge your question. I promise I'll get to it. But the biggest surprises for us from a team standpoint, like, we have a somewhat complicated system offensively. And that was like the number one thing that we wanted to get done this summer, is to kind of get comfortable with our offense, just comfortable flowing to how we play, not only how we play, but conceptually, just the pattern of it, if you will. And I think that's the biggest surprise for our whole staff, is how well our guys picked it up. You know, the last couple years at CSU, it's always challenging for new guys, but we've always had like a core group of guys that knew the offense. Jalen Crocker Johnson is the only one that has any experience. And we kind of tapped him with, like, put your coaching hat on throughout the summer to kind of help guys along. But I think that's, as a team standpoint, that's probably the biggest surprise to us, is how well the guys have meshed offensively, how well they picked up their offense. Because the offense is somewhat complicated until it's not. Once you get it, then it clicks, then it becomes like just second nature to you. But before that, it can kind of get a lot, and we've done a really good job of that.
Luke, I need to put him on the spot with a very important question.
Yeah.
So I follow, obviously, Nico at Colorado State basketball. Yeah. Over social media all the time, and all the trips after the games to the Buc-ee's, to the mini marts, like, the social media was so good, like, I felt I was, like, there hanging out. And I kept, like, what are they getting for snacks? You know, I like to eat, you know. And we got Nico's go-to, the ice cream sandwiches, and he's like, I was like, tell all the managers to get him ice cream sandwich. He's like, no. Yes, the managers, again, keep filling them full of them. Anyway, what was your go-to when you guys went to the gas stations and
concessions? Yeah, you're full of tough questions, because that's a tough question. I generally like to go with cereal. I love cereal. The gas station has those little single ones, so you only get two snacks. And so I only get one pot of cereal, because you have to have the milk in it too. And so that's generally and usually I'm a healthy cereal eater, like just plain Cheerios, kind of boring. But for big wins, I'm not afraid to go with the Lucky Charms or the Razor Brian Crunch or something, really treat myself. There was one game this year, the last regular season game of the year at Boise State. And it was an awesome game. Neek went off. It was a great game. So after the game, coach is always like, you know, there's a few things better in coaching than a conference road win in the locker room. It's so much fun. And coach, you know, generally speaking, those times are always great, and guys are all juiced up and coaches saying great job. And he goes, you know what time it is? And everybody else, snack time. It's pretty cool. And for that one, he goes, I can't remember how he articulated it, but he eventually got to, we got three snacks tonight. And, and the place just went crazy. It's like in the NFL, after a big win, they say no practice Monday, and everybody starts going crazy. But that one, I had the cereal, the milk, and I got a little ice cream too. So, you know, those big ones, you get three.
So you had to get little boxes. They couldn't allow you to get, like, you know, sneak in a big one as a coach.
Wow. Like, I needed a built-in bowl though too, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough, man. It's a first world problems, I guess.
Like,
yeah,
sure. We're over here with Fruity Pebbles. I can see them up
on the counter. I love cereal. Cereal's great. It's a good dessert.
All right, cool. So now that you've been at Minnesota for a few months, what surprised you about Minnesota? Not, and you don't have to talk about the university, but just the state in general. I know you've been here recruiting some, but maybe what surprised you that you really didn't get to know about having not lived here?
I think I love the downtown. I was telling Ryan, I live right by US Bank, the football stadium, and I have a apartment right down there. And just that whole area from the Mill District down to the end of downtown along the Mississippi River, how nice it is, how friendly people are, how many people are outside. Everybody's outside. Everybody's got apparently everybody in Minnesota has a dog. Yeah. So I've noticed downtown. And so I've been very surprised and impressed with just how clean, friendly, safe downtown area is.
Yeah, it's you're so right about the dogs.
Yeah.
Like it shocks me every time I go downtown, especially if you go on a weekend and like I swear everybody that lives downtown has a dog.
And yeah, I think it's a rule everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. As a basketball coach, it's hard to do, so I don't have one.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Ryan, any parting questions? Otherwise we can let Coach Cooley go.
Oh yeah, I got one more. Like, so if we get a 3-point shooting contest between the coaches, and we got bigger staffs than these, when I was a manager at the university, there was like 4 coaches, maybe 5. Who's winning the 3-point shooting contest amongst the coaches right now? I know Gates got 200 threes. I did my research for the Gates interview. He had 200 threes in college. Is he winning? Who's winning the 3-point contest?
Well, do we get to warm up first?
They get of course.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna not say me. Like in reality, it's probably not me, but I would go head to head with Gates. My thing is free throws. I like to shoot free throws. Like I feel like I'm a pretty good free throw shooter. Ironically, in college, I never got fouled because I never dribbled and never went inside the 3-point line, so I never could utilize that skill. But I would love to, like, when you talk to Gates next, tell him I'm ready for the challenge. Tell him I'm ready for him.
All right,
I'll tell you who's gonna be last. Can I say who's gonna be last?
Yeah.
Aaron Katsuma. And ironically, he's got the biggest mouth too. Like, he's always chirping. And like, I don't know, he needs to go to a shot doctor because he does this and then he hitches. And like, I don't know if he does that on purpose or what, but I know he would finish last.
We might need to tell Michelle we need to get another coach interview so we can talk.
Yeah, so we can do that. Yeah.
Give him a rebuttal.
Yeah. Oh, who's posting up though? Like, who's battling in the post? Like, Thor's got to be
Thor. Thor's going Barkley back down. It's a little old school jump hook. I can see that.
Yes.
So on your free throw, what's your routine? Are you like 3 dribble spin? Or are you a no dribble?
I just catch and shoot. I have people make fun of me. I have a little jump. Like, I have a little jump. I've always had that. But yeah, I'm not good at a lot of things, but free throw shooting, I still have that. That has not left me yet.
That's good. That's good. Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate you joining. It's fun to get to know you. I hope that the people that listen enjoyed the process as well. We look forward to the season starting here. Man, it's already August 13th. Like, the season's going to be here before we know it.
Oh, I didn't know. We obviously, when the guys come back, we start fall workouts right away. But our first official practice is September 23rd. I can't believe how early it is now. It just gets earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
But this is the best time of year for us. September, October, November, less traveling. You can just pour into the guys. So it's a fun time of year for coaches.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, enjoy the Minnesota fall. Those football games will be fun.
Oh yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the time. I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon.
Excellent.
Sounds good.
Bye, Coach. Okay.
See you.